the rest of us, if you would turn with me to Matthew, Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10. We're going to look at verses 34 through 42. We are going to cover a lot of scripture this morning. Fair warning, sword drills again today. The message I'm opening today will take 2 weeks to preach. So, oh, you thought I meant two services? No, I'm going to preach on for 2 weeks. Kidding! Yeah, two services. What I want to talk to you about, I've entitled, What About Peace? What about peace? Christians talk a lot about peace. But I got a level with you. There's times in my own life when I talk about peace. But sometimes I don't have that peace. So we're going to explore that over the next two services. What in the world Jesus was talking about when he said, My peace I leave you. We can lose our peace in a fraction of a second, can't we? All it takes is one phone call, one piece of really bad news about ourselves, someone that we love, any kind of situation that sneaks up on us can rob us of our peace. So we're going to explore that. Reading Matthew 10, verses 34 through 42. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives the one who sent me. Anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and anyone who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We just pray your anointing on this service, Lord God, that you unfold your word to us as we open ourselves up to you. Lord, we pray that you will open our understanding, that we will truly understand from your word what it is you want us to glean from it, Lord God. And Lord, I pray that you put a watch on my mouth, that I would only speak the words that you ordained for this morning and only for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I'm gaining a greater understanding of the first few verses of our text today than I did years ago. Let me explain. Because of the great expanse in the political arena between people and between Democratic views and policy and the GOP's policies. I see what we just read about fathers, daughters, sons, daughter-in-law. I'm seeing some of the greatest division in my lifetime, and it's within families as well as churches and all kinds of places, because the middle ground is becoming less while both sides are expanding. And so, along with that then, it challenges people's peace. I mean, let's face it. It is not a nice thing. It's a horrible thing to have divisions in families, blood relatives. It's a horrible thing. But I'm seeing it happen more and more. You know, the last time that happened in a big way was during the Civil War. You had brothers on opposite sides fighting against each other during the Civil War. It was a horrible, horrible time for our nation. Well, in a sense, without taking up arms per se, we are rapidly moving into a Civil War mentality in this nation. And so then along with that goes the peace. Now that being said, believers are always supposed to stand up and speak up against the evils that are in this world. Okay? We are. And in the series we just finished, talked about how bad compromise can be. Wrong kind of compromise. So, we're not advocating to keep peace between people that you compromise. Because we are always called to stand for Christ. Okay? So, it's a tough situation we're in. And it steals peace. You turn on the television and watch the news, and the peace that you had goes right out the window. Am I telling the truth? You grab your phone and you look at the news on the internet, and then within moments you might be having a great day, and within moments can't see any reason to live anymore. You know what I'm talking about. So, first major point is this. It was foretold that Christ would bring peace. In Isaiah 9 and verse 6, it's one of those prophecies recorded in Scripture. And it says, Isaiah 9 verse 6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So how does that work? We, as believers, know we're supposed to profess. Well, yes, there's peace available in Christ, but then we look at our own lives and the enemy will attack us and say, "Oh yeah, you say you got peace. Where's it at?" Have you been there? Where's it at? Oh, the devil's always there ready to help you when you're feeling a little low about yourself. He does his part, doesn't he? Can't blame him for all of it, because we got self to contend with, right? When the child was born in Bethlehem, the angels announced the event with the words recorded in Luke 2 in verse 14. It says, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to men on whom His favor rests." So there it is again, at His birth. Peace toward men. So why so often in this world that we are living in, with all of its divisions, why then do we have all that? Second major point. During His lifetime, Jesus gave His peace to those who believed in Him. Jesus distinguished His peace from the peace as the world understands it. Now we're getting somewhere. The absence of war on earth. Let me say that again. Jesus distinguished His peace from the peace as the world understands it. The world understands peace to be the absence of war. What He brought instead was reconciliation between God and man. Now we just landed somewhere. Man was separated from God, our Creator, because of sin. Okay? It says elsewhere in Scripture, I'm not going to turn there in light of time, but we were at enmity with God, it says in Scripture. In other words, we were enemies with God. Just like we can end up enemies with anybody, including family members, because of difference of conviction. Right? So, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, it says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to bridge the gap. He on the cross bridged the gap of the great expanse between man and God that was there because of sin. Okay? So if we were at enmity with God, then we had no peace with Him. Jesus, as the Prince of Peace, the one who said, "My peace I leave you," when He left, that peace is the restoration of relationship with our Creator God. The peace that Jesus came to give, that first and foremost is what He came to accomplish, and He accomplished it. So as we receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we are reconciled to a right relationship with our Father through Christ. And the result is peace. I can give you testimony from my own life. I was living wrong in so many ways before I knew Christ. I knew right from wrong. I wasn't raised in a perfect home, but I was raised in a home where I was taught right from wrong. I was. And I knew right from wrong. But all too often, I chose the wrong path because it was fun. Can I get a witness? I took the fun choice. I took the fun road. Not weighing the consequences. And you know, after you've done something and got away with it, then you're like, oh, what they said about this wasn't true. But it is true. So I knew right from wrong. So I felt guilty doing the things I was doing. And as a result of living that way for all those years, I began to sink deeper and deeper into depression. Oh, nobody knew because I was the life of the party. But it was plastic faces. Trying to get down in the trenches and get real. I had no peace in my life. Didn't realize it at the time. I thought it was because I was living the way I was, and that surely had a part with it. But the real reason I lacked peace is because I had not turned to my Savior, the Prince of Peace, that had paid the whole price for me to be redeemed. For you to be redeemed too. He paid the whole price to give me peace through my redemption and restoration to right relationship with my God. So on the night of November 16th, 1982, I reached the lowest point ever in my life. The pastor came, talked with me, shared the love of Christ with me, asked me if I would like to pray to receive Christ, and my response was, yeah, I've tried everything else. I might as well give this a shot because I've tried everything else. And it's all empty. And so I prayed that prayer. And guys, I have a peace down inside of me because of Christ. Amen. And that restoration of relationship with my God that the world couldn't give me. And the world can't take it away. I, for the first time in my life, knew what peace was and know today what peace is. To have peace with your God. The kind of peace that causes you to have absolutely no fear of dying. I stand here today and I confess to you, I have absolutely no fear of dying. I just wonder what I got to go through to get dead. That's the reality, isn't it? But I have no fear of dying because I know my life rests in the hands of Christ. There is no greater peace than that. Before that, I had fear of dying because I didn't know what was going to happen. I knew that what I heard from sermons when I was a little boy and what I had learned in Sunday school, if that stuff was actually really true, I knew that I was not going to land in a good place. That much I understood. And to now, after being born again and knowing that peace and having that peace right here today, just like the day, the first day that I met Jesus, that peace that passes understanding, I don't completely understand it, but I know it's been there since the moment I opened my life to Jesus Christ. And said, no longer my will and my life, Lord, but your will be done. Peace. Peace. And that peace, when it's entrenched inside of you, carries through and gives you some peace as we walk through the trials in life that we go through. But it's because of that peace that we have peace. Notice in Romans 5 and verse 1 that faith is required of those seeking his peace. See, it takes faith to even receive Christ to be able to get that peace. It takes faith to believe, okay, he paid the whole price. I believe that. That his death on a cross provided life for me. And because he was laid in a grave and 3 days later rose again just like he said he would, I also will rise again. If I taste death before his return. Are you with me? So therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Guys, that message is timeless. It will always preach. It will always be relevant. Because that right there, in a nutshell, is the foundation of our faith. Those who do not receive him, however, remain in a state of alienation from God and his people. This is what Jesus meant in verse 34 of our text, when he said, do not suppose that I have come to bring peace on earth. He said, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. In other words, when we are in Christ, we are alienated from people that are not in Christ because we are all on a different plane spiritually that way. I had family members that were saved before I was. I remember when they got saved. It was in the Jesus movement. How many of you remember either hearing about it or maybe saw that? I'm going to tell you something. I couldn't really relate at all. Because once they got born again, they were on a different plane than me. They had an understanding that I didn't have the capacity to understand because I didn't have the Spirit of God. And me being the nice guy that I was, I too often made fun of them. Don't we tend to make fun of what we don't understand? Well, I found out down the road that I was the one that had it wrong. The friction of unbelievers toward Jesus and his followers can even destroy the closest family relationships. It's sad. Verse 35 and 36 says, for I have come to turn, I'm man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. And again, we are seeing that happen again right now in a big way in the world, really. But let's narrow it down to our nation because it's where we live. I hate it. I hate divisions in families. I've seen it over the years. It's not a new thing for me to see this. I've seen the love of money cause a lot of problems in families when there's a death of a parent. And you know how that goes. Greed, the love of money, and families end up feuding. I've had families that sat, were broken and sat in opposite parts of the funeral home while I was doing their loved one's funeral. At the luncheon, avoiding each other, won't speak to each other. Makes me absolutely sick to my stomach. I hate seeing that. And you can see the devil's fingerprints all over it.
Yes.
Because he always is in the middle of divisiveness. God is about unity. But not unity through laying down our God-given convictions. Right? Not unity through an unhealthy compromise. Jesus himself experienced misunderstanding in his own household. But they were later reconciled to him. Matthew 13, verses 53 through 58. Matthew 13, verses 53 through 58. Says, when Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there. Coming to his hometown, he began to teach the people in their synagogue. And they were amazed. Where did this man get his wisdom and these miraculous powers, they asked. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, only in his hometown and in his own house is a prophet without honor. And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. Even Jesus' family couldn't receive him when he launched first into ministry. You know, when I was living outside of Christ and living wrong, all of my cousins, it seemed, loved me. They got along great with me. But then, as I said, on November 16, 1982, my life changed drastically when I got born again in the Spirit of the living God. And then all of a sudden, I had a lot of cousins that just really didn't want to be around me. I'm telling you the truth. A lot of them just didn't want to be around me anymore. See, the darkness hates the light. When the light of God comes in, it shines light on everything. I was the same way before I was saved. I didn't like the light shining on my life and exposing me. So I'm not mad at those cousins. It's what I've told you is just the reality of it. It's the reality. And then I committed the cardinal sin. I closed up my auto repair shop and made myself available to ministry and became a pastor. Whoa. That was the cardinal sin. Who does he think he is? I know who he really is. Yup. You remember who I used to be, I said. I'm not that guy anymore. You look at me and I look like the same guy, but I'm not that guy anymore. Isn't this just the carpenter's son? Isn't this just the boy, a farmer's son that grew up on a farm? Isn't this the boy, the young boy that was so ADHD that he barely made it through school? Who does he think he is now? It got back, you know, you never notice how things are going to get back to you, and especially when the devil wants it to get back to you so it bothers you. Somebody know what I'm talking about? That's why Jesus said we're supposed to guard our hearts. For out of it flows the wellspring of life. The enemy has always wanted to dam up that wellspring of life. And he can do that if he can get us to walk in offense. So we gotta be careful not to get mad at somebody, but just understand where they're coming from. Isn't this him whose mother's name was Mary? Isn't this him that his mother's name was Shirley? Why? He's not even one of the big names in the area. He's a worse one. How in the world can he preach the word of God? Only through Christ. Do you see it, guys? We can walk in peace, but it's required that we have faith in Christ. And that through Him, we have that reconciliation, that peace between us and our Father. And as an extension of that, whatever comes up in our life, then we can have peace because we trust Christ. And again, I know that we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. We know that from the Word of God. Romans 3:23, for all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But Romans 6:23 goes on to say, thank God, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. The reconciler. And they took offense at him. And they take offense at you. If you put yourself out there in your life, on the job, with your family, at a family reunion. I used to call ours family rebellions. Kind of what? When you you stand up for Christ and let his light shine through you, there are going to be people close to you and beyond that don't like it. You can expect it. So we might as well own that and decide, I'm not going to let that bother me. I'm going to guard my heart. And that's hard, because rejection is something that's hard to deal with. I myself, I'm going to be vulnerable. I have a very, very hard time with rejection. Because from the time I was wee little, whenever my dad was mad at me, he told me, you will never amount to anything. Over and over and over. So I lived up to that for the first 25 years of my life. And then I met Jesus. And I got to reading in Philippians one day after I got saved. And I saw in Philippians that it said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Amen. And I decided I can be somebody, because my God said so. Maybe some of you have grown up in a similar situation. I'm here to tell you, God has a wonderful plan for your life. And it includes peace with your Creator. An assurance that when our life is required of us, absent from the body, we are with Christ. Gospel of John 7, verse 5 says, for even his own brothers did not believe in him. Even Jesus' own brothers did not believe in him. They took offense at him. What's he doing going to the temple? Slipping away and going to the temple and in there preaching. Who does he think he is? Oh, gee, I don't know. Only the Savior of the world. That's a pretty high calling. Acts 1 and verse 14. This is our final scripture for today. It says, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. See, time went by. God changed their hearts. And they came full circle, and they gathered in the temple for prayer. You let God's light shine through you and follow God's path. Most of the people, even family members, that ride herd on you, and it could happen for years, but most of the time things come full circle, because God's not done with them yet. And he brings them into the kingdom, and guess what? All of a sudden, you're on the same plane. You find common ground. Peace. Left here, the Holy Spirit was sent to to be our counselor, our guide, our assurance that Jesus, when he said, never will I leave you or forsake you, it's true. Let's all stand together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the plan of salvation and that Jesus did it. He paid it all. Lord, thank you for calling us right where we were at in our life of sin and calling us out of that life of sin and into a relationship with you, one that's been restored through Christ. Thank you for that, Lord. I pray if there is anyone here today that would say, I need that kind of relationship, with all heads bowed. If that's you today, would you slip your hand up? I'm looking. I'm the only one with my eyes open. Is there anyone today? Would you slip your hand up if that's you? If you're not in a relationship with Christ, but today the lights came on for you. All right, Father, I thank you that every person in this building right now is a born-again believer. I'm just going to believe that. And we pray, Lord, that what we've heard today, that we will carry that out and ponder it through the rest of this week. And Lord, that you bring us back next Sunday to hear the second part of this message, Lord God. We give you praise. We pray that you protect us in this world full of darkness, that your light will shine through us and that your glory will be our rear guard. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We love you.